And I think we're gonna change gears a little bit next week. We still are going to talk, I believe, about the power, but it'll be a little different matter. You know, we've been, over the last 3 weeks, we've been talking about the power of, okay, and we talked about the power of the things that are given to us through or in our Christian life as sort of what I've called the three foundations to our Christian life, things that will really help us to get through and to get on, and that was faith, hope, and love. Okay, and now I'm going to start by praying before we get too far in. So, Father, we rest in you this morning. We're trusting in you. Father, our faith is in you. We know that we can trust in you with all of our decisions. We can trust in you with all of our life, Lord, in every area, whether it's our relationships that come up, whether it's our finances, whether it's our future, whether it's our past. Every area we can trust in you to have your hand upon it, to encourage, to lead, to guide, to empower us to do what we need to do. And Father, this morning, we're allowing you to have your way in our hearts, allowing you to speak deeply in our heart and allow it to connect with something in our brain that says, this is a new and better way. This is the way that you have designed, and we will follow in it. And Father, trusting in you, whom we've never seen, never laid eyes on, Father, but yet we trust through faith and through hope and because of your love, Lord. We're praising you for it. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, we say amen. Amen. You know, some morning, we could hear the children's church in there stomping on the floor. And glad we're going to get up and do that one of these mornings, and I'll just surprise you. Bring a little tambourine. We'll get it down, right? Praise God. Well, we've been talking about the message I titled today was The Power of Hope. Okay, the power of hope. We have as the three Christian kind of foundational things, faith, hope, and love. And that comes from 1 Corinthians 13:13, okay, where it says that now abideth or remains kind of this forever eternal thing. Now abideth faith, hope, and love or charity. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Right? So we started this series with the greatest of these. We talked about the power of love. Okay, a couple weeks ago. Okay, love conquers all. Okay, love is supreme and dominant in that fact, in that way. And we know that having a deep personal revelation of the love that God has for you, how much he truly loves for you. That he loves you without condition. He loves you in a way that literally, when received as such in that way, is transformational. It begins to change everything in our life when we realize how much God loves you. You'll begin to see your past differently because you realize how much God loves and forgave. You begin to see your present circumstances differently because you know that God has your best interest at mind right now. And then you begin to see your future differently. It changes our perspective because we know that God loves us and that God has good things, and so that future begins to look brighter and to a more positive, something we can look forward to as well. And all these things happen when we succumb to that love of God, when we say, God loves me. Okay, that is, it's a powerful statement to say, God loves me. Okay, say it and emphasize the different words. God loves me. Okay, God loves me. Right? And then you say, God loves me. Right? Whatever, however you want to say it, every way you say it, it is going to impact your life in a powerful way. Okay, so we talked about love, and then we talked about, last week, we looked at the power of faith. Okay, faith is what receives as a fact, okay, that which your natural senses cannot comprehend. Okay, faith receives it as a fact, even though your natural senses have not yet comprehended it. It is the substance, right? Faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay, faith is the substance, or you could say the title deed, okay, in our hand of things that are hoped for. Okay, remember that example, the whole, you're buying a house, you get the title deed, whoever holds that deed has possession in the end of what that deed says on it. Okay, so the title deed is in our hand for the things that we're hoping for. Faith then also is the evidence or the confirmation email, okay, that what we have requested is on its way. That's what says it is, even though we haven't seen it yet, it is on its way. Okay, so this week, we've talked about love, we talked about faith. This week, we're going to see how the power of love, the power of faith, and the power of hope, okay, that's this week, all go together. Okay, we're going to see how hope is what actually brings faith and love into play. Okay, hope is critical to your life. It literally is. If you, you know, lose hope, you begin to be hopeless, okay, or to have less hope, okay, it is going to affect your entire life. The Bible tells us that faith works by love, but you're going to see today how without hope, faith never really gets started. Okay, so faith works by love, okay, we realize God loves us, we can trust Him, okay, but hope is what kicks that off. Hope is what begins that. Otherwise, without hope, our faith is weakened, it's hindered. Okay, hope, in other words, is a it's a necessary component to your walk with God. We have to have hope. Okay, and that goes for the entire world, whether they want to acknowledge God or not. So let's start with a scripture. I want to show you one in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Okay, a simple scripture, and you probably heard it before. It says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, but when the desire comes, it is like a tree of life. Okay, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Okay, hope deferred, that means that hope is put off. Okay, it is turned down. Hope is declined. Okay, kind of put off. Now, when I, here's a story for you, but when I wrestled in high school and college, wrestling matches are usually a 6-minute match, and they break them down into 2-minute periods. Okay, and so you have 3 2-minute periods. Well, after the end of the first 2-minute period, the referee takes out of his back pocket a big coin that's usually about this big around, and it is red on one side and green on the other side. That's all it is. It's like a piece of plastic or cardboard or something that he carries in his pocket. He pulls this out, this red and green coin, and he flips it up into the air, and it lands on the mat. Sometimes it lands on the edge, and it rolls off the edge of the mat. It's hilarious. But the point is that he flips it. It lands on red or green. Okay? Let's say it lands on green. Now, he turns to the kids on the mat, the two guys wrestling, and says, and he doesn't have to say anything, he looks at their ankles. Because each wrestler is wearing a Velcro piece of strip around their ankle, one ankle, and it's either red or it's green. Okay? So if it lands on green, he looks at the kid with the green ankle band on his thing and says, do you want up, down, or defer? Okay, you get 3 choices. Okay, when he says that, what he's asking is, for the start of the second period, do you want to be on top, do you want to be on bottom, or do you want to defer the choice? Okay, and if you can picture wrestling, okay, you know, usually you picture two guys standing up and they go at each other. Okay, well, when you start the second period, one of them is down. That means he's on his hands and his knees. And the other wrestler kneels down next to him, puts one leg kind of up behind him, they grab onto their elbow, and they take their right hand and put it around their waist just like this. And as soon as their hand touches that kid's belly button, that ref tweets and begins the second match. So you're going to be the guy on top, or you're going to be the guy on bottom on your hands and your knees. Okay? Well, as it goes to the wrestler, and you get to decide whether you're on top or bottom or defer. Okay, if you choose top, you're on top for the second period. Okay, if you choose bottom, you'll be on bottom. Or you can defer. Okay, usually the less experienced wrestlers would look at their coach, and the coach is over there giving them the signs. You know, or defer, right? He's giving them a sign of what they're supposed to do at that moment. Okay, if you defer, it means that you give up the choice and you put yourself at the mercy of the possible circumstances. In other words, if you defer, your opponent gets to choose for you. He's going to decide how you will start the second period. If he chooses top, you're going to be on the bottom. Okay, and then if the match happens, if you don't get pinned and you make it to the third period, it'll reverse. Okay, where you'll be the guy on top, he'll be on bottom. Okay, hope deferred, when we're talking about deferring hope, it means that you are putting yourself at the mercy of the circumstances. Okay, to defer hope is the whatever happens will happen mentality. It is saying whatever happens will happen. Okay, and that is what it means to defer hope. Rather than making choices for your good and for your own betterment, okay, deferring hope means that you're saying you will just succumb to whatever comes your way. A lot of people live that way. You're basically at that point in a place in life where you're letting your opponent, the devil, decide what happens next in your life. You're deferring. I'm saying my hope is deferred, you get to decide. Deferring hope is a pretty discouraging place to be in life. Okay, there is no anticipating, there's no looking forward to what's going to happen next, because you're deferred, your hope is deferred. Okay, that's what it's referring to. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. Okay, it's a discouraging place to be. Now, in wrestling, deferring was a strategy. Okay, if you were ahead on points and confident you could stay ahead, you chose up. If you were behind on points, you chose down, because you could get an escape, which is to get completely free, you get 1 point. You could get a reversal, okay, get swung around on top of him, you get 2 points for that. It was a way to catch up on points, in other words. So when the kid would look at the coach, if the coach was confident you could get a reversal, he would tell you choose down. Okay, so that you could quickly get 2 points, because it was almost instant. As soon as that hand touched that belly and the whistle would tweet, we were taught as quick as you could fly out of that, there's a thing called a switch. Okay, and you would throw your leg out, spin around, and you're on top of them in less than a second. I mean, it's that quick of a move. Okay, so if your coach thought you could do that, he would tell you, choose bottom. Okay, if you deferred, it was an intimidation factor. Because wrestling has a lot to do with intimidating your opponent. If I deferred, that meant I'm going to beat you no matter whether I'm on top or on bottom, so you go ahead and choose. That's what defer meant, okay, in my mind at least. Okay, and I think our coach probably taught us that way. That to defer was to say, doesn't matter what my circumstance is going to be, I can be on top or on bottom for the next 2 periods, I am still going to beat you. That's why sometimes the state champion kids would always just defer. You know, they kind of knew that they would intimidate even more if they would just say, you choose. Okay, when it comes to hope, okay, and deferring hope, it is not something that you want to ever defer. Okay, to say my opponent gets to choose. Hope is critical to your success, both in your Christian life, but also in life as a whole. Hope is what ensures your success. It is what sets you up for happiness and joy, real joy. Okay, it is critical and vital for your peace in your heart, okay, to continue to have hope. In Psalms chapter 16, verse 8, the psalmist said, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Okay, his heart is right with God. He's putting God before him, in front of him, and it helps his heart to be at peace and his flesh to rest in hope. The psalmist said in Psalm 71, verse 14, he said, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Okay, he's talking to God. He said, I will hope continually, okay, and praise thee more and more and more. You know, we know that we are saved by grace through faith. And yet the Apostle Paul reminds us that having hope is what led to us having faith to be saved. Okay, and having hope, you're going to find some people haven't put a lot of focus on hope. It's always on faith, right? And love. Okay, hope is so critical to where we're going in our walk with God. And I'll show you, if we begin to lose that hope, we're going to begin to lose the match, okay, so to speak. Romans, let's look at this in Romans 8, 24 and 25. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And he says, "For we are saved," okay, delivered, healed, saved, "by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope anymore. For what a man sees, why does he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Okay, now you gotta follow along to see if we can keep up with where this is going. Because this verse, and there's a lot of other verses like them, okay, that are what brings faith, hope, and love together, okay, into the same picture. Okay, remember faith. Okay, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Hebrews 11, 1. Okay, it is the title deed of things hoped for. So when this verse says that we are saved by hope, it is saying that we are saved because we confidently anticipate and allow our expectation to be in something that we have not physically placed our eyes on yet. Okay, to be saved, I am as saved as I can get. 100% believe that. I'm on my way to heaven. But I haven't seen heaven yet. So my hope has to be maintained. Okay, it is more than just believing I'm going to heaven. Hope is what maintains your faith. Okay, hope is what leads to it to get me to put something out there. I'll show that here in a minute. The scripture says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Okay, it is saying that faith is what grabs onto what you're believing for, but it is hope that is reaching out for it. Okay, see if you can see the difference. If I'm standing here and there's somebody here and I want to reach out to them, I haven't grabbed them yet, but as soon as I reach out and grab them, it became faith. Hope is what does this part. Hope is what reaches for it. Faith is what grabs onto it, and it's the love of God that then allows me to bring it in. Okay, you'll see that. Faith, hope, and love. Okay, once you reach out with hope, okay, and you apply your faith, faith kicks in, then you spiritually first and then physically obtain what you're hoping for, then your hope is what extends and yearns for the next thing. Because once it's been received, you no longer have to hope for it. Now you begin to reach out for what is next. Okay, put your hope out in play. Okay, now we only have to hope for something that we haven't seen yet. Okay, so if I'm praying for a friend or family member to get saved, okay, how many are praying for somebody to get saved in your life? Amen. Everybody should say, that's me, right? We pray, if we're praying for someone that we haven't seen them get saved yet, or let's say I have prayed for healing for something in my body or something in somebody else's body, and I haven't seen it yet, then I do not need more faith, but I need to maintain my hope and my confident expectation for good because I haven't seen it come to pass yet. Okay, hope is that, it's what glues it all together. It's what gets it started, that reaching. Faith grabs onto it and says, it's mine, it's coming, it's on its way. But hope is what will maintain that so that you don't let go. Okay? Hope, why do we hope for something that you already have? Okay, that was Paul's question, right? Did we see that? What does a man seeth? Why does he yet hope for it if he already sees it? But we hope for those things that we see not, right? That's his question. Why do you hope for which you already have? Hope that is mixed with that confirmation, okay? Remember the confirmation email? Okay, hope that is mixed with that confirmation that what you ask for, what you requested, has been acknowledged and the answer is on its way, is what moves us on to the next thing. That's hope. Because once it comes, we don't have to hope for it anymore. Right? Those verses that we read, we've read them before in Hebrews chapter 11. It talks, faith is substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And then it goes on and it says, for through it we see that the worlds were framed together, put together by a God whom we have not seen. Okay, that is believing in something that we haven't seen. And he's saying hope manifests in that situation. Okay, we see the manifestations of God all the time. Every day. If we're looking for them, we're going to see the manifestations of God in our personal life. Okay, when I lay hands on somebody and I see them instantly heal, or the next time that I see them, they come in and they're testifying of God did this. I went to the doctor and it was gone, or whatever it is. It is clearly a manifestation of God at work. Okay, seeing God provide for a financial need we have. Okay, we can acknowledge when that happens. The other day it's just one of those weeks, I have to confess to you. Financially, it was a tight week. I had some extra expenses and things that came up. And so it was pretty tight. And the boys have smartphones, and they have these little cards that we buy at Walmart that is what makes them do anything, right? When they only last for a month, and once they're done, they're done. And so about Wednesday, Thursday, the boys started coming and saying, Dad, our card runs out on Friday. We're going to be able to get another card. Pretty important ones to get attached to a smartphone to have it working every day, right? And so, we're going to be able to do that. And I said, boy, I don't know. You know, things are tight. We can't do it yet. We'll have to wait and see. And so by Friday morning, we're in morning prayer and Bible study we do together as a family. And we're getting ready to pray. Do we have anything specific we want to pray about? And, you know, somebody says, what about the cards? You know, can we pray about it? So we laid it out there before God. Okay, and God, we need a financial miracle of some sort to be able to provide for not just the cards, but groceries and other stuff. And guess what? By the time we get done praying, before we broke up as a family to go about, the boys go to school and I go do other stuff, before we did that, I got a text from a gal that says, can I buy a cord of wood from you? Okay, and it wasn't Emily, it was somebody else. She did later on. Okay, that was another one. But it was some lady that we have delivered to several times in the past. And I had no idea. We just gave them a cord 2 weeks ago. They shouldn't be out yet. And so she texts and says, can we get another cord of wood? Okay. In fact, she set me up with a second customer. Okay. So what that means is that financial need was met almost instantly. Yeah, yes, we had to go and do the 2 or 3 hours worth of work and get the load to her. But it paid for that card. Instantly, we got paid in cash. Could we go get the car? We went to Walmart, got the car. Okay, got some groceries and other stuff, and it was exactly. So that is, I'm saying all that to get to this point. That is a manifestation of God in my life. Okay, it's a manifestation. It means God is alive and well and active. Okay, we see those manifestations all the time. We see Him protect us. Okay, from what could have been a fatal accident or an injury or something. We see that protection coming through and we acknowledge God. We have a healing in our body from a sickness or an injury. We have God guide us through a difficult decision or difficult time in life. Okay, those things continually encourage and build up and strengthen our faith. Okay, that is a strength building. It's a confirmation that we know that God just did something in my life. The key is to recognize when God manifests Himself to you, because to hope for something that you already have, that you've already been given, that you've already received, okay, it's kind of wasted effort. You're hoping, you're nullifying, you're kind of making hope not do what hope was designed to do. Hope is a reacher. Okay, hope is that reaching out for that next thing, and that's what gets us to pray about it, to then receive by faith and to move on. Remember that scripture in Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Okay, one of my favorites. Every week I got a favorite. Okay, it's one of my favorites in the Bible. Jesus said this. Mark 11, 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Okay, Jesus said that. It's a fact of the Bible. So why do you still hope for that which you have already seen? Okay, if I'm praying for healing for someone, and I believe that I received that answer to my prayer by faith, okay, I grabbed onto it by faith when I prayed it, then I can walk away believing that it's already been done. Okay, people wonder how to do this. Hope is what gets you to do it. Okay, and it's hope that is going to maintain it until you actually see it. Okay, if you can grab onto this, I wrote a note to myself. If you can grab onto this, it'll change your life. Okay, at the very least, it'll change the way you pray. Okay, because you can have hope to, enough to pray, then grab on by faith that it's already been done. Okay, hope is believing for something new. Okay. If you want to write something down, write that down. Hope is believing for something new. It is believing for something you have not yet seen. Okay? Faith is the faith, then, is the confirmation that what you hoped for is on its way. Okay? Faith and hope are together. Okay, I'll give you an example. I ordered some parts for my chainsaw the other day. Okay, it broke down and I need this part. Almost instantly, when I ordered that, I received a confirmation email. Okay? And the next day, I received the "it has been shipped" email. You guys know what I'm talking about? You ever ordered online? It means that they acknowledged, we got your order and now we shipped your order. It's on its way. Okay? So, I know with great confidence that part is on its way, right? I haven't seen it yet. But at this point, I don't have to go do more research. I don't have to get online and try to find a saw parts dealer. I don't have to try to figure out which one fits. Okay, I don't have to do any of that anymore. I've already ordered it. It's been acknowledged and sent. It is on its way. That part is on its way to me. I don't have to look somewhere else. I know that my request has been confirmed. It's been sent. So at this point, it is no longer something that I am hoping that I can find. Okay? I've already found it. I've already requested it. And now it's just a matter of time before it is in my physical hand. I literally went out to the mailbox 3 days in a row so far looking for that part. Because I know it's coming. It's not at the warehouse anymore. It's been shipped, right? And so it's coming. So just as natural part of coming in from feeding the cows or whatever, I go to the mailbox. But I tend to defer to the kids if they have something that's on its way, right? So they can get that great surprise. But the last 3 days, Thursday and Friday and yesterday, I went to the mailbox thinking, there's got to be a part in here somewhere, okay? Because I know that it's coming. I want to lay my hand on it, okay? I want to physically get it in my hand. I'm not doubting that it's on its way. I'm anticipating it's on its way. I'm going to get it physically in my hand, mainly because I'm done hoping for it, okay? Even at this point, I'm pretty well done hoping for it. I know it's coming. I want to physically get it in my hand so I can use it for what it was for, so I can move on to the next thing, okay? I want to get that chainsaw fixed so I got other things I need to do, okay? Well, there is a word that frequently precedes the word hope in the English language, and it is the word new. Okay, the things that we hope for are something new. Okay, I know that if you just Googled it, you would find this, but there are churches out there called New Hope Church, right, or the New Hope Christian Center. Yeah, I saw my cousin in South Dakota goes to something called the New Hope Methodist Church. Okay? Nobody ever names their church Old Hope. Okay? They don't name their church the Same Hope Methodist Church. Right? It's the New Hope. Because that's what hope is. It is something new, better, different. Something we're hoping and desiring for. So we're going to name it New Hope. Okay, nobody ever says, I'm hoping for what I already have. Okay, we are thankful for what I already have, but we aren't hopeful, hoping I have what I already have. Okay, when you hope for something, your hope is for something new, something different, something you don't have yet. So when my part comes in the mail, and I'm still hopeful it's coming, right? So planning on it being there, probably Monday, tomorrow. I'm not gonna go to the mailbox every day with the same enthusiasm for that, right? My hope for that part will not need to be in that part coming anymore. Now my hope can move on to something new, okay? When faith, hope, and love come together, that is what makes it so that you can believe. You know, you're hoping, you can believe, you can pray, you can receive, and you can move on to the next thing because it is your underlying hope that is ensuring its arrival. Okay, I don't wait at the mailbox, guys. I go check it, but then I go on with my day. I am still hoping, hopeful, planning on it, expecting it to be there on Monday. Okay, you may have heard the expression, keep the faith. Anybody ever heard that? Keep the faith. Some people say, anyway, keep the faith. I'll just leave it at that. When hope has prompted you to believe for something, and faith has grabbed onto it as something that you now possess, an even more accurate statement at that point would be, keep the hope. Because your faith has already grabbed onto it. Now you want to keep the hope, anticipating that something is coming. You hope for it till you see it, in other words. You remember that hope deferred means that you're turning over the choice of what happens next to the enemy. Okay, if I don't have hope, at the very least, I am turning over what happens next to circumstance. Whatever happens will happen. That is why faith and hope can't be separated. When you're believing for something and you do not see it right away, when you're trusting God, you're believing for something, and then you get some contrary news. You know what I'm talking about? Or you're believing, and then somebody throws a wrench of doubt into the picture. It is not your faith that is moved at that point. Because all of us are probably strong enough Christians, I am not going to release my faith from God because God's the one that is providing for me. My faith remains in God, not in that part. My faith is in God. But if somebody says something negative or contrary or throws doubt in there, and I begin to grab onto that and lose hope, okay, it is hope that is deferred. It is hope that is squelched or diminished at that point. Okay, in those moments. You were hoping till you saw it, okay, but your hope was discouraged by the contrary news. And if you allow your hope to be completely deferred, then you're going to hand over the outcome to whatever will be. Okay, and the likelihood of you ever seeing it physically come to pass at that point just takes a nosedive. Okay, because you have no more hope. You're not expecting it anymore. I want to show you a scripture. We've got to wrap this up. John chapter 20. Anybody remember a guy, they nicknamed him Doubting Thomas? Okay, Jesus had some words for Thomas. And I want to show you this in John chapter 20, starting in verse 26. And I'll read through 29. It says, after 8 days, again, his disciples, Jesus' disciples, were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Verse 29 says, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. But blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Okay, Thomas got the nickname Doubting Thomas, right? Because when the other disciples came and told him that they had seen Jesus alive and well after the resurrection, after the crucifixion, Thomas said that he would not believe until he physically saw and touched the nail holes in his hands and saw the gash in his side. When we believe for something and we get a sort of a, I call it a warm and fuzzy feeling when we receive it, okay? Thank God. You know, it's like that, wow. I look at my phone, get that text, shared it with the family. We just got a word order. We're going to be able to get your card. Okay, that warm, fuzzy feeling is a confirmation of our faith. It just confirmed that our faith in the Almighty was there. It just connected, and it becomes real to us. But Jesus makes it very clear that when our faith and our hope truly come together, that it manifests as believing without seeing. Okay? This is far easier to do when, like we do, we have God's Word to stand on. Okay, when God's Word has a promise in it, we find that promise, we can stand on God's promise because our faith is in Him and His Word, not in us, not in circumstance. Okay, we can trust in God's Word. And at this point in Thomas's life, Jesus had told them that He was going to be crucified, that He was going to rise again the third day. He had given them that word. It might not have been written out on paper in front of him, but Thomas had that word. And like the other disciples or some of the others that might not have seen Jesus yet, Thomas could have believed without seeing that and without touching Jesus' hands inside. He could have. He had all the same information, all the other people that weren't exactly in that room, just like you and I. How many believe in Jesus? I haven't put my hand in his side or touched the holes in his hand. Okay? We believe based on God's word. Okay, so just like me believing that my chainsaw parts are going to arrive any day, I haven't seen them yet, but I know that I own them, I already paid the money for them, and that they are soon to be physically in my hand. I don't have to keep calling that company to make sure that they got my order, to make sure that it's on its way. My point is that if I can trust a company named Sawzilla, that's what it's called, Sawzilla. If I can trust a company named Sawzilla to do what they said, to acknowledge, to send it, I can trust God's word.
Amen.
Okay? We can stand on what God's word says all the way to the end. You get that, right? See, when Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, it is because hope that is deferred, it is squelched. Okay? It means that hope has caused you to stop looking for something good to happen. Okay, I use a definition for hope all the time as a confident expectation for good. Okay, that is hope. You're hoping for something better. Hope is about anticipating positive progress. Okay, if, for example, you're not satisfied where you are financially and you begin to lose hope, okay, get into hopelessness, you're going to take on that attitude that this is as good as it gets, and this is the way it will always be. The reality is that the way life works, you're either moving forward or backward, so to think that you're staying the same, you're probably moving backward. Hope is a confident expectation for good things that are yet to come. Hope, in other words, is forecasting better days. Hope is reaching for better things. And with all the things that are going on in our country right now, it is essential to maintain hope for the future. It doesn't matter what happens with the coronavirus. Now, I'm going to speak for me. Maybe you guys aren't there. But it doesn't matter to me what happens with the coronavirus. It doesn't matter to me who's in the White House. It doesn't matter to me what the stock market is doing or what the Wyoming budget is doing. Those things simply do not factor in. They do not keep me from continually anticipating better things for my life. Because my hope is fully intact. I continue to believe for better things in my life no matter what the circumstances around me are. I am not going to defer hope and give it to the circumstances. I'm going to keep that for myself and say, I put my hope in God. Okay, God is bigger, better, faster, stronger, doesn't matter. I expect good things regardless of what the media is forecasting. Okay, regardless of what the financial advisors are saying, I expect good things. And you know why that is so important? I'm going to end with this. Because if you do not have hope, you will not pray. And if you do not pray, you will not engage your faith. And if you do not activate your faith, the substance, the confirmation of things hoped for will not be in your possession. And if I don't continually possess the things that I hope for, I will not be able to move on to the next good thing that God has for me. Remember, you don't hope for what you have, you hope for what you don't have. So I'm anticipating, no matter where I'm at in life, that there's something a little bit better. God has got more. God will provide more. This is not as good as it gets. It's going to get better. I constantly have that hope. Love, faith, and hope all go together, and they make up a progress plan for your life. Because we hope, and because of hope, we anticipate. Okay, we begin to look and expect for good things from God. By faith, then, we reach out and grab onto it and possess the things which we have not yet seen. And then all that is received because we know and believe the love that God has for us. God wants to give it. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Okay? We believe and trust in God. Father, we're praising you this morning. We thank you for loving us unconditionally. We thank you for your glory and shining through Jesus. We thank you for then placing Jesus to live out, to go through what he did here on earth so that we can now believe and trust in him. Placing our faith in him, our hope in him led to faith, which leads to now, Lord, understanding that you did all this because you love us. Lord, we're going to reach out in faith, reach out in hope, and grab on with faith, Lord, and trust for all the things that we know that you want to give us, that we see in your word, that you have spoken into our hearts, that you have put in deep places in our being, Father. We acknowledge and look for and trust in you to bring these things to pass. Lord, I pray that we pray with fervency, that we pray with expectancy, that we reach and grab, Father, by hope and faith, Lord, that we don't have to live life without hope or in a hopeless place, Lord. I pray that each of us goes forth from here not willing to defer hope to anyone or anything else besides you. That we just trust in you, that you're the one that will make help decisions, and we're going to make those decisions that will place us in the right place with you, Father. We thank you for it. We trust you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.